Thank you. So my name is Dana Aronovic. I work for John Snow Incorporated, JSI, in Washington, D.C., and I work on the USAID-funded DELIVER project, which is a global project that focuses on improving health commodity availability in developing countries through strengthening the supply chains that deliver those products in country. And starting all the way up at the international level, we actually do the procurement for USAID of a lot of critical health commodities, including bed nets, for example, but also contraceptives and HIV and AIDS products and TB and lab supplies and other malaria drugs. And so really looking at the supply chain from the top all the way down to the end user. And so actually what I'm going to be presenting on this morning is a guide of performance indicators for public health managers. There were a lot of copies on the back table. If they're not there, you can go to our website. If they're all gone, you can go to our website to get a copy. So this is just the learning objectives for this session. For all of you to be able to identify a number of metrics for monitoring supply chain management performance for public sector health programs, and to describe how these metrics can be used to improve health product availability to support these programs and to improve health outcomes. So first, to draw that link between supply chain performance and being critical for health outcomes related to the previous presentation we just heard about getting the zinc out there and getting antibiotics somehow out there. So positive health outcomes depend on the reliable availability of these critical medicines and other medical supplies. The availability of these commodities depends on an effective and an efficient supply chain from the port of entry in a country to the most remote service delivery point. And improving supply chain performance, of course, requires information about current performance. Performance has to be measured to uncover any inefficiencies and to take action to correct them. So why do we do monitoring and evaluation? And probably everyone in this room knows this. To improve program management and system performance, providing feedback, having the evidence to make decisions, maybe at the national level, maybe at the lower level, and even at the international level for that matter, and for work planning to improve performance, if needed, to mobilize the resources, financial, human, to support these programs. And then, of course, for accountability, for reporting results, and for determining impact. This is a model for supply chain systems improvement that we've used over the years, and you can see that it starts at the top there with usually performing some sort of a baseline assessment, analyzing the data, selecting your interventions, planning and designing interventions, implementing the interventions, and then monitoring, of course, over time. So you see the quality monitoring throughout and how important it is to have a set of indicators to actually do that. This is the logistics cycle, and this was the guide that the sort of guiding framework that we used to develop the guide that I'm talking about. And so you can see sort of all the components of the logistics cycle, starting at the top with serving customers, which of course is the primary output of a supply chain, is to provide the products to the customers that need them. You've got product selection, you have quantification and procurement of the medicines, inventory management, including storage and distribution, and then there in the center you have all of the other functions that are required to support the supply chain. The information systems, the organization and staffing, supervision, evaluation, and again, the quality monitoring throughout. You have policy and you have adaptability that sort of encompass the entire supply chain. So in this guide that I'm presenting, this matrix sort of shows the layout of the guide. You can see down the rows here, the different supply chain functions. This is based, of course, on the logistics cycle that I just presented, and this is just the way that we categorize the different supply chain functions. Product selection, forecasting, and procurement, supplier or sourcing, and then warehousing and storage, inventory management and information systems, and then distribution and transport. And so then within each of one of these supply chain functions, we have four different types of indicators. Quality, these indicators tell you how well the system is performing on a specific activity. Response time are indicators that focus on the time it takes to complete specific activities and show where saving time can improve the overall supply chain's performance. Cost or financial help managers are indicators that help managers identify the supply chain cost drivers and help move towards a more efficiently managed supply chain. And then productivity, which are indicators that help examine how well resources are being used. And then, of course, filling in the matrix are all of the performance measures. So this is the sort of a picture, a snapshot of the layout of the guide, what it looks like, for those of you who got a copy. So first, you can see that the chapters are divided by supply chain or logistics function. So this is an example from the distribution and transportation section. And then within each chapter, there are four types of indicators. Again, the ones that I just mentioned, quality, response time, cost or financial, and productivity. And then each indicator has a title, and the number of indicators per supply chain function varies by the different functions. And then what follows is a detailed description of the indicator, including the definition, the formula, the purpose and issues, data sources and requirements, and related indicators where relevant. So again, important to select what many of you have probably heard about, SMART indicators, the indicators that are specific and measurable, appropriate, realistic, and time-bound, and we tried to really focus on these criteria in selecting the indicators that we included in the guide. And then this is just a quote that I put at the bottom that I always find interesting. Not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that can be counted counts. So again, just trying to focus on a core set of indicators that will be useful for supply chain managers. So now just to give you a few quick examples of the performance measures. Again, these are all in detail in the guide, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but just to give you some examples. From the product selection and forecasting and procurement section, for example, under the quality section, we have forecast accuracy, which is the percent difference between what you projected you were going to need for a specific health commodity. Let's use zinc as the example. You thought you were going to need 100,000 zinc tablets to serve a certain community or a certain region. And then at the end of the year, you look at how much you actually used and compare the two to see how well you did with your forecast, which of course is important for future planning. If you ordered too much, then you may have supplies that are wasted, that expire before they're able to be used, and that's an unfortunate waste of precious resources. And if you've under-projected what you thought you were going to need, of course, you're not going to be able to serve all the clients who needed the product. From supplier and sourcing, under productivity, just as an example, supplier fill rate are the percent of orders that are filled completely. So you've placed your order. Did you get the correct quantities and the correct supplies that you requested? Warehousing and storage. An example from the cost and financial section of the warehousing and storage section, the value of product damaged in the warehouse. Of course, resources are limited. You don't want to see any products that are damaged in the warehouse. And so this is just an indicator you can use to keep track of that. And of course, you'd want to look into the reasons why products are being damaged. Is it as a result of infrastructure? If there's a hole in the warehouse roof and water's getting in and damaging products, that's a problem. Or is it just a question of the actual procedures or that they're using in the warehouse to store the products? Are they storing them incorrectly? Are they, things getting crushed or stuck in the corner? Important thing to look at. Under the inventory management and logistics management information system section, just as an example for response time. Excuse me. Order lead time is the amount of time between when you placed your order and when your order was received. Again, just to keep track of how responsive the suppliers, normally from the higher level to the lower level, how responsive they're able to be. And then for distribution and transport, another example from quality, on-time arrivals. So the percent of shipments that arrived as scheduled. So if you place an order from an international supplier and you were expecting it to arrive on September 1st and it doesn't arrive until October 1st, well, again, you can see how that would pose a problem because it could result in stockouts of that product. Application of the performance measures. So again, just to sort of summarize, it's important to monitor system performance. You can do this during supervision, during management reviews. Provide routine feedback throughout the supply chain. So up and down, lower level facilities should have the opportunity to provide feedback to the suppliers at the higher levels, and then of course the feedback needs to come down as well. To improve program management, we want to see this evidence-based decision making, which again was a key feature of the prior presentation, just having that data to enforce the decisions that you're making. One example that I just mentioned was forecast accuracy. You need information to make good forecasts of your commodity needs. And then to improve system performance at all levels of the supply chain and report results and determine impact. And all of this, of course, with the ultimate goal of increasing product availability for improved health outcomes. So that's it for me. There's a lot of details in the guide. If you didn't get a copy, again, it's available on our website. I didn't put it up here, but it's deliver.jsi.com, or you can just, of course, search for the Deliver Project. This is our motto here at the bottom, no product, no program. And that's it.
Okay, good.